Welcome to an Artist and an Athlete podcast. I'm Sarah Mazingo, the athlete.
And I'm Ashley Rick, the artist.
And we're bringing you a podcast on relationships, healing, and the creative flow.
And we're doing that through sharing our experiences of being married lesbians, female entrepreneurs, and how life has changed through our own healing journeys.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
We're back.
We are.
This is a very special episode because it's the day before.
My birthday!
Ash's birthday! It's her birthday. She's going to party like it's her birthday.
I'm probably not going to party.
Probably not going to sip a Cardi.
And definitely not going to sip a Cardi.
I mean, fine.
Never say never.
That's fair. You said probably. Maybe not never.
Probably not going to.
Possibly maybe. That. Not going to.
Yeah. Is that cool. Gluten free? I don't know. Anyway.
It's rum.
Yeah, should be fine.
Yeah.
I've already had plenty of Bacardi in my life, so.
All right. Well, yeah. That's cool. thanks for joining us again, everybody.
Heck yeah.
We're going to be talking about birthdays, kind of, sort of, in a way.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to call this one The Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talk about, I can't be the only one that does this, right?
No,
and
you're not.
I'm not the only one, but I do this thing where it's not even just the holidays, but since we're in the holidays, I kind of am going to use that as the example, but I do this thing where I'm like so excited about Christmas or just the holiday season in general, my birthday being in December and all that. Like I have this anticipation and this buildup of all the things I want to do.
Sagittarius season, everybody.
Yeah. And then when the day comes, right? Like my birthday day comes, it's almost like a depression sets in.
Yeah.
And it just like gets thicker and thicker as the day goes on. And then also that happens with Christmas too. Like we usually go to your parents' house.
Yep.
And we go for a few days. So it's like a few days of like this slow depression that sets in.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that as in like Christmas isn't everything that I want it to be. We talked about this earlier, but I am a very big movie person.
Shocker.
I love movies. I love TV shows. All of it.
She watches them all before I have the chance. There's rarely been a time where she's like, we need to watch this movie. And I'm like, have you seen it yet? And she says, no. I'm like, what?
I know. She pre-watches the movies. There are some that I'm like, I'll watch the trailer and be like, nope. Okay. I've learned.
You've predetermined what we can watch.
Well, but the trailer's got to tell me because like, what if it's like looks all sweet and innocent and then it's all about homicide? And I'm like, oh, Sarah's not going to like that.
Why don't we just stop it in the middle?
No.
Then you watch it later.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah. This is why I pre-watch them. Anyway. So I grew up as they were an escape, right? Like they were this escape from reality for me. Like the Hallmark movie or the bright colorful lights, whatever it was, the fairy tales, the fantasy movies, all of them. I love all of them. And so talking about the holidays in particular, when it gets to the day of Christmas.
Can we stop for a second?
Yes.
I just had this whole thing that happened in my head that I've never seen movies as an escape. And then we just watched Prom last night. And
yeah.
He was like talking about how theater is an escape from reality.
Yeah.
And I've never made that connection.
Really?
No.
I'm just blowing your mind over here?
Well, like it's not an escape for me.
Yeah.
So it's more like, oh, that's real.
Yeah.
Oh, you do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Good talk.
Yeah. So yeah. Like for me, it's very much the unplugging. The escape, the get to live for a little bit in this fantasy world, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think I can name like three movies that have ever created that experience for me.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, we're back.
Anyway, So something that happens, like if you know, the quote unquote Hallmark movies, right? So you get to the to Christmas Day or the days leading up to it. And there's this montage that always happens.
There's the reindeer sled.
It's baking the cookies. Sledding. It's the cookies. It's the gingerbread building. It's the snowman building. It's the wrapping presents and watching movies and reading a book by the fireplace and
hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa. All these things that take time. And so, but because you're filming a montage, they happen in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so when I was little, it like triggered this thing in me that's like, well, but you should be able to do all those things in this time frame. And, you know, if you've ever tried to build a gingerbread house, that's like a solid 2+ hour endeavor.
If you build it the way you build it, yes.
If you, but I mean, like, yeah. By the time you get it set up,
yeah.
And you make it,
and you make take the
it,
icing,
tear
and
it do down, and all the things, and pack everything back up, and making Christmas cookies is like
a day,
a whole day,
yeah,
maybe two,
yeah.
So that's not something that happens quickly,
yeah.
So as a kid, teenager, whatever, I didn't understand this, and then honestly, until this year. I don't even think my adult self really truly grasped it.
Yeah.
My birthday is tomorrow.
Whoop, whoop.
I know. I am excited. But something cool that happened this year is because I'm going to be out of town for work.
Womp, womp, womp.
We actually celebrated this past weekend.
We did.
And at least a little bit, right? Like we kind of had that pre-birthday celebration.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because it like tricked my brain. A little bit, if that makes sense. Like I have friends that I always joke with them like, it's my birth month, woohoo. And then I'm like, it's my birth week. And then it's my birthday. And like, I kind of pick on him because he's the Grinch. And it's fun banter, but at the same time, it's a little bit of, not even a little bit, it's a lot of masking the sadness mm-hmm. and the insecurity. Because if I project that I'm excited about my birthday and my birth month and my birth week, then I'll convince myself that I am. Mm. And that's what we're all trying to do, right? And on some levels is like, if I can convince myself, then it'll be true. I shouldn't say we all do that, but like there are a lot
of... That was a killer projection.
Yes. Absolutely. I do that quite frequently.
Yeah.
Or I used to. Is if I can convince myself, then that's how it'll be.
Did people celebrate your birthday when you were little?
No. Yeah. I mean, my sister's birthday was the week before. So she's December 1st. Mine's December 8th. And so it was very much together. And then my littlest sister is like usually the day after Thanksgiving. Hers is like right on or right after Thanksgiving. So she's 4 years younger than me. So for 4 years, it was kind of Kristen and I together. We got celebrated together. And then when Alicia came into the world, it was kind of like, we'll just do a group celebration.
And I'm guessing that was before your birthday.
Yeah, it was usually like with Alicia or with Chris. It was usually on like Kristen's birthday or something because it was. So. Yeah. And I'm not, that's not to say that like we never had a party or did anything, but there was a lot of, because it was Alicia's birthday, because it was then Kristen's birthday and then my birthday, there was a steady, significant amount of years in my teens and adolescent or teens and 20s. Where I didn't hear from my family on my birthday, or at least my mom.
Yeah.
And it was like the day after or a few days after and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And like, I did get cards and I did get that. Like my dad would always send a card and my grandma's would always send cards. It's just this, not this image that I had from movies.
Yeah. And like, I think it's okay to say that like you wanted it on your birthday, right? And like,
yeah.
It feels like, and I've seen this happen with friends who have close sibling birthdays. It's like they celebrate them on the early one. And then when it gets to the day of their birthday, it's just another day. But you're like, but it's my birthday.
Right. Or it's like there is a like happy birthday, you know, it's just not that celebration to the extent of what you think it should be.
Yeah.
And as a little kid, that's confusing, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, but there was, I understand that it was, I was being celebrated too, but it wasn't on my day.
Right.
Or there wasn't like one closer to my day, whatever right. it was. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you have Christmas. Mm-hmm. So by the time like we would celebrate and then it was my birthday and then, well, we're already in Christmas mode.
Yeah.
So I have this thing that happened where it was like it blended them all together.
Yep.
And so for me, it's just this big illusion of how December should be.
Hmm.
Like December should be the month where you get to do all of these things. But what happens, and what I'm going to bring it back to when we talked about the gap, is you're so excited and so looking forward to this one day, this one moment where you get to do all the things that you've planned on doing the whole year. And you forget, or I forget, that December is 31 days long. It doesn't all have to be in one day. It doesn't all have to happen in one day. I can, if I step back a little bit, breathe, mm-hmm. and take a moment, and realize that I can celebrate the whole month. I can do all the things I want to do and enjoy them. And live presently. You see what I did there?
Christmas. Bum, bum, uh-huh.
Yeah. Dad joke number one. And really be present in day-to-day life. That you don't have to cram it all into one day. And then have that like hangover of depression.
Yeah.
That maybe that one day didn't go exactly as it should have in your head.
And it's also okay to want that celebration of you.
Yeah. But for me growing up now, like as a, what, 39 tomorrow? there's no adults to tell me no anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I can celebrate my birthday the weekend before. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I can celebrate it after.
Yeah.
Like, you have always made the day, my birthday, feel special. Like, if you have a million superpowers, but if you have one superpower, you are so good at being a cheerleader for people's birthdays.
It's going to be more challenging with you and not in but this like, city, but we're going to try.
Even,
we got a plan.
Even, like, the acknowledgement of it is huge. Mm-hmm. And so you were one that really showed me that, like, oh, it can be a big to-do.
Yeah.
And it can be a big to-do without, like, doing a ton of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year I'm embracing it. Like, we're going to celebrate again in a couple weeks because last weekend we were going to celebrate with friends and there was a COVID outbreak that happened. And so we couldn't.
Yeah.
And like, that was great. It gave us time to have a day together.
Yeah.
And like, we got a tree and we did all this stuff and it was really great.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, and I will report back on this, but I'm hoping that when we get to January, that I feel less hungover, less of the like holiday slump.
So this is fun, like as your partner, knowing this and being able to articulate this, because I don't think we've ever articulated this before, mm-mm. is that because here, and we talk about this quite a bit, we're not just completely Midwest that all we talk about is the weather, but...
but we do talk about it talk enough about because it is real up here.
And like, it's weird because summer solstice, December 21st, and then we roll into...
Winter. Winter solstice is December.
Sorry, winter solstice is December. Yeah, I was like, yeah, winter. And that's the shortest day of the season, right? And yeah. I've never lived somewhere where that was...
So short.
So apparent.
Yeah.
So apparent. And it's interesting because though, even though we climb in daylight, January is always okay. February is hard.
Yeah.
And I hesitate to say that because I also, saying that February is hard, I make it harder, right? Because I'm like, ugh, February.
February's like, I just get projected on all the time. Come on, guys. I'm the shortest month of the year.
Right. Like, you can do this. So, like, finding the importance in, you know, post-Christmas, January, February, of finding those moments, right? And finding those exciting things to do and making it cozy and warm and celebrating the season as much as we can, knowing that we are gaining daylight, even if we don't see it for the month of February, and like help create those moments as much as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Last year was really helpful too. We did go out into nature more, and that helps both of us and our dogs too, right? Yeah. I think this year we're going to take the Williamson School of Snowboarding. A friend of ours is a really great snowboarder. So last year we're like, we're going to have him teach us. And then we went one day and it was like 40 mile an hour winds up the bunny hill. And I was like, I think we're good today.
We didn't leave the bunny hill.
We did not.
Which is not even a bunny hill, everybody. It's like a... It's not quite as high as an overpass.
It's a bunny. It's hiccup.
Yeah, like a speed bump, maybe.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this from a big, like, I want to say business standpoint, but like a goal setting standpoint.
Yeah.
Maybe is a better way to look at that, especially as we're rolling into January. So something that there's a really awesome book, and I don't know the author, but it's called Dips, Cliffs, and Cul-de-Sacs.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
Rad. And a lot of the feelings work that we did talks about like vision casting. And I've talked about it before, like creating your perfect day. And so vision casting is you spend some time, some real time, like thinking about what you want your life to look like. And what are some of the milestones you want to hit? And for me, those were always goals, right? So I've had a business goal for a very long time now, of what I want Ice House to be able to do and what I want it to be able to hit. You got it? She made the note like she's got it.
I don't have it necessarily.
Maybe it's called The Dip.
Yeah, I think it keeps trying to pull up Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So I'm going to go ahead and say I don't have the right one yet.
Great. but where... The trap that I would get into is similar to what Ashley was just talking about, is I'd put the goal out there and then the only thing I could focus on was the goal. So like Christmas, have an amazing Christmas. And you start that in January and then you miss everything that happens from January to December. And for me, in the business sense, my presence and focus was so focused on the thing that everything else that wasn't the thing was a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have such a struggle celebrating these amazing wins that were happening because it wasn't the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hadn't gotten to the thing yet.
It's called The Dip.
Yeah.
And it's Seth Godin, G-O-D-I-N.
Godin.
Godin. Yeah. But it says the little book that teaches you when to quit and when to stick.
Yeah. And so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So in this, like, you know, you want to celebrate and you want to do the things, but it's not the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this was it felt like a very shallow way that it clicked for me.
That's all right.
But I was listening to, I like to take two mornings a week and I go to a coffee shop and I journal and I take some time. Like I coach a couple classes and then I have about an hour and a half. And where I go and I just get either coffee or tea and journal. And I was listening to a podcast at this time because there's a business that's doing some really cool stuff. And I like to hear how they're doing it. And they gave out the average earnings of a gym like mine. And I was like, say what?
Mm.
And they gave out like the average monthly earnings.
How did that feel?
It was a third of what we make.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
It was a third of what we make per month. And I was like, what?
Excuse me?
And that's why I say this is kind of a shallow form of understanding, but not having any understanding. You know, like a lot of times you think you're on this island and you're sucking and you look around and you're like, oh, my island has some trees. It's got some coconuts.
Island's actually really pretty.
It's actually really nice. This is kind of wild. But in the moment and not being able to see around it, for me especially, like it's taking a long time to get to where I can be internally motivated. Mm-hmm. When everybody says the biggest competitor is yourself, I have a really hard time with that, or I've had a really hard time with that, because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, how do you know? It's a whole thing. It's a whole different
That's
podcast.
A whole nother episode.
So hearing that was like, holy cow. In theory, we're doing 2/3 better than the average. And I have beaten the living crap out of myself.
Yeah.
Because it's not the thing.
Because you're not where you want to be.
Yeah. It's not the goal that I haven't said that yet.
Yeah.
And so it was like this eye-opening moment of like, what if you were doing better and you just like celebrated the shit out of that and kept going? I bet the universe would reward you a lot more than this negative beat the crap out of yourself energy that you're projecting out into the world. Mm-hmm. It was such like an aha moment.
Yeah.
And I do this, this happens to me quite a bit with almost any goal, right? Like we've talked about, like we've done 2 years of the internal work, mm-hmm. right? And I think there's 4 parts of your life that are really impactful, right? There's your inner emotional, spiritual self. Mm-hmm. There's your outer physical self. There's your relationship with people. And then there's your relationship with the environment, nature, earth.
Okay.
And a lot of times we'll get really focused on one of those.
Yeah.
And we can't see the other 4 because we're so focused on the one. Mm. And for 2 years, I think both of us have focused on one. Mm-hmm. It's been the internal, emotional, spiritual place.
Yeah.
And I have all but let the other 4 fall off the
wither away to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've talked about like, I hibernated, you know, I didn't really go out. I didn't talk to people. I didn't do any of the things. I just kind of let everything else, like, this is the thing I'm focusing on right now. This is all I can handle.
Yes. I think there was a big part of the thing that we have a tendency to forget is that we were universally going through COVID at the same time. Right. So we started with this quarantine for COVID and all that, and doing this internal work at the same time. So it was, the universe had given us this gift of seclusion to be able to do this internal work. And
we just continued to shut up. Right.
Like maybe we didn't, because the world was all in it too. It was, at least for me, and I won't speak for anybody else, but like, at least for me, it was easier to be like, well, we're already secluded anyway. Might as well just keep it internal and keep working internally and do all that. And it just became more comfortable living in this little bubble.
Yeah.
Than opening back up.
And for me, it was like one day I woke up and I was like, yeah, I feel pretty good. We should go see what the world looks like now. You know?
Yeah.
And in that, like looking at, okay, what is the thing that you're focused on now? Right. And in hearing about the other gyms and in hearing where we were, it allowed me to like let go of my North Star. Mm. Like that goal that I had, that like in vision casting and in goal setting, you put out the North Star and then you just let it be out there. Mm-hmm. I was like hugging the shit out of mine.
You're like suffocating it.
Yeah, I was like, you must come now, right? And so what would happen is even if I get there, even if I get to that North Star, if I don't let go of it, I'm going to have the exact same crash you were just talking about with your birthday. Mm-hmm. Is that dopamine rush is going to last for 0.4 seconds. And it's going to be like every other milestone that I've hit along the way that was like, okay, cool.
Next. Yeah.
Except for there won't be a next. And it'll be this like world of floundering. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've experienced this hard with basketball. Mm-hmm. I can remember from the time I started organized, quote unquote, basketball, which was in our grade school gym. There were 12 people in my class. We roped up enough to play 3-on-3, full court, because we were little and you could run a lot. And
you had energy.
That was my first organized basketball. From that moment, I knew I wanted to play some type of college basketball. And then I made it.
Yeah.
And I remember that first year, I was like, well, now what?
Well, and also to that point, your first year wasn't how you thought it should have been.
But like, it, even though it wasn't, I was done.
Yeah.
Like making it, I was like, well, I'm done now.
Check that box.
Yeah. I don't actually want to do this whole 4-year commitment.
Right. Oh God, right? That sounds
like,
terrible.
It was fun. And don't get me wrong. Like I had a blast, but like it was such a, oh, and then there was nothing after that.
Yeah.
And this happens to, I believe, a lot of athletes that like the crash after athletics is real because you've just spent, you know, the first 20 years of your life figuring out that you want to do this thing and you do the thing and then you're like, well, at 18, you've done the thing.
Yeah.
And nobody teaches you to look past the thing.
Well, and also like, I mean, you're 18. That's so young. Like we know now, right? Like that's so young.
But it's no different than at 39 being so focused on your birthday and then crashing.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Like there's so much more. There's so much more life, right?
Yeah.
There's so many cool things you could do with basketball, with baseball, with whatever, but your goal is college and then.
But then nobody talks about that, right?
Right.
It's like you could, and when I played, there was no WNBA, there was no pro basketball, right?
Sure.
So there wasn't even the dream of, you know, taking the 1% of college, top 1% of college players and putting them into, you know, and you hear the stats that only 4% of all high school athletes make it to college and he made it. And then there's nobody talks about the next. Mm-hmm. Right. And I imagine when you're not so focused, and I could be wrong on this, when you're not so focused on college basketball, you go to college to do the next. College is like the check to the next.
Absolutely.
In athletics, college is like the end.
Yeah. And we should also say, too, that we grew up at a different time, right? We're not in college right now. So I'd be curious to see if there is a conversation more about it now. Or is it still the same as it was in the late 90s, early 2000s? You know, like, is it evolving? Like, we have a friend out on the West Coast. Like, she's softball coaches her daughter. And, like, that whole team is amazing. And all those girls are badasses. Are they having the conversation of like, it's okay to want more and to be more diverse and include more things into your routine than just like the get up, eat, sleep, breathe this one thing?
I imagine they are. And I imagine there's still the pressure of like the goal.
Yeah.
Right. So like,
because you still have to, I mean, in athletics, you still have to be goal driven.
Yeah.
Like there's still that competition that fuels you.
Yeah.
Is that correct? I'm not 100% sure. I say that as if I'm like been there. But I mean, it's also with the world of art and theater and too, like you still have a goal in where you want to be. So yeah, there is that internal drive that I would imagine you still have to have.
Yeah. There has to be, in my opinion, there has to be something past the goal, but the key is you have to love the process of getting to the goal.
Yes.
Because if you, and I didn't understand that. It's so cliche and it sounds so like, oh, just love the process. Yay.
Lean in. You're fine. Let go. Great.
And in the last, I would say 3 months, somebody asked me this. One of my clients asked me this the other day. He's like, what are you focused on? Like, what is your competitive goal these days? And I was like, I don't have a competition goal. I said, for the first time in my life, I'm signing up for things that I know I won't win. I know there's not even, I'm concerned if I'm going to finish.
Yeah, but I would like to not die during it. A
couple of these, I'm like, oh, okay.
We're just going to show what happens.
And for the first time, the last 3 months, it's shifted to understanding business and understanding that that's where I want to be competitive. Mm. And this whole like competition with yourself thing is starting to make more sense.
Yeah.
Because it's never really made sense to me.
Did it help hearing that podcast and hearing like that statistic?
That statistic blew my mind.
Right. Like, did it kind of tip the scales just a little bit into that, like it's a small carrot, right? Like we were like, oh, huh. Like,
I think it gave me validation that I actually do know what the hell I'm doing a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like we always say, like, I just need a win. Like I imagine for you in that moment, that was like, oh, that little gold star that was like, you are doing the thing.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's what everybody else is going for. Okay.
Got okay. it.
All right.
Yeah.
It was like such a realignment.
Yeah.
But I want to come back to the book, The Dip, because I think it's really important.
Okay.
This is what happens. And this is what we've been talking about this whole time is there's something when you fall in love with the process. So business life is like a relationship. It really freakishly is a lot of the times.
Yeah.
You can break down almost every part of a business and be like, it's like a relationship.
Yeah. I always used to joke that I was in an emotionally abusive relationship with my business because yeah.
Yeah. You can take sales, make it like a relationship. You can take finances, make it like a relationship. You can take it all. And so we used to talk about this. And we still do talk about this at Ice House. You start fitness or you start art. You start like this new project.
Yep.
Let's say you start a new project and you're super pumped about it.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is amazing. Let's take like a 5,000 piece puzzle.
Ooh.
You start the puzzle and you're like, yeah.
You see the end goal, right? Yeah. You have the image.
Yeah. You're a little nervous.
You get the whole shell on the outside done.
Yep. And you're like, this is the best puzzle in the whole wide world.
I'm going to do this.
This is great. And yeah. You get like, you know, a couple spots filled in pretty quickly and you're like feeling good about yourself and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. And I imagine for most people, for me, a 5,000 piece puzzle is going to take more than a day, right? And so somewhere in there, you can't find any matching pieces. Like they're just not, like you look at the puzzle and you put like two pieces together and you're ready to flip the puzzle table. You're like, this is dumb. This is stupid. Like I shouldn't even finish this. Why?
And they are literally right in front of your face.
Right there.
Yeah.
And you're in what's called the dip. Mm-hmm. So there's like, if you can imagine like a line that starts like super high and it's super excited and then it dips down and then it like goes back up. Mm-hmm. The dip is where there's a statistic in the book. I don't remember it anymore. I want to say like over half the people quit.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the dip. Over half the people have flipped that puzzle table. Said screw it, walk away. It's not worth it.
Yep.
Right. And also in the dip is where you have to decide, is the thing I'm doing worth pursuing? Mm-hmm. Is it worth finishing this puzzle and seeing that beautifulness that's on the box in front of me like I did it? Mm-hmm. Or is it not? And a lot of times we don't ask ourselves that question. And another thing that like struck me was like when people say don't make emotional decisions. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. And I had somebody explain it in the most beautiful way. They're like, feel the emotion and let the emotion pass and make the decision from that place.
Yep.
I was like, I am a 1000% emotional person. If I don't make emotional decisions, then no decisions get made ever.
Then who are you? Yes.
Like that's where my brain would always go. I'm yep. like, how do you not make, like, I understand you don't make them from anger and you don't make them from like whatever, but I was like, you're always in an emotion. So how do you like not make a decision in the emotion? And they're like, let it go. Like the fear, the anxiety, the excitement. Let it like take a breath, then make the decision. I was like, oh, that might seem obvious to all of you out there in podcast land. My brain was blown.
People do this?
Yeah. And so in that dip, you need to decide like, okay, is this speed bump that I'm hitting worth going through? Mm-hmm. Right. And if you decide that it's worth going through, that is the process. Because in about Puzzleland, 2-3 more days, you're going to hit this same dip. It's going to be a little shorter, but you're going to hit it. You're going to have the day where you find like 3 puzzle pieces instead of 2 puzzle pieces. And you're like, oh, this is stupid. And like, whatever. And you get to decide. And that process of continually hitting a wall and deciding and continually hitting a wall and deciding is the thing that is where all of your attention needs to be. And all of my attention used to be on the done puzzle, and the puzzle's not done yet, so this is stupid. And then when I hit that wall, I would just live there. I would live with like the wall.
That space, that gap, that in between, like, well, I can't get to that. I can't touch it.
Yep. It's never going to happen. It's just not for me. Like, that is where my little subconscious was like, ha, 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 watch this.
Interesting. That is not how my brain works.
Yeah. And so I would get so frustrated. And I would end up in a cul-de-sac, just going around and around and around and around and around. And so the cool thing is you've been a mirror to that, right? And it was fun to watch your 2020 art.
Mm-hmm.
Because pre-2020, and I'm going to say that your brain might not work this way, but your actions.
So I would like to talk about that. So yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Pre-2020 art was, if I can't do it all at this moment, it's not worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she like let a painting sit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm just going to let this sit and see what happens.
So I want to reference that.
Yeah.
Because hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, we'll use the puzzle example, yeah. Right? So hearing you talk about it or somebody else,
yeah.
I'm like, well, let's take the puzzle. Okay, let's put all the blue ones together. Let's put all the purple ones together. This is the sky up here. This is the water over here. And let's dissect it. Let's break it down. We can do this in increments.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's me,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, why haven't you finished this goal that you set? You're a failure. It doesn't look how you want it to. And I know, I mean, I've taken so many art classes in my life. You could choke on paint over and over and over again. I know to trust the process.
Oh, yeah. We all know.
We all know. Trust the process. It will work. Trust the process. It will work. You know, in art, in life, in home and renovation, in whatever it is, it's got to look worse before it gets better. Usually there's this point for me, the dip is the, like, I thought this is how bad it was going to get. And then it's got to get a little messier or a little bit more, or I got to give a little bit more because I know that that last little dip is what gets it to start building its way up.
Yeah.
And so trusting and remembering and telling myself over and over and over, like, you know, there's going to be another dip.
Yeah.
Or you are in that other dip. Like, there's so many projects pre-COVID, especially, that I'd be like, I was in the actual dip part. And I would just be like, this is never going to look how I want it to. And I would abandon it.
Yeah.
And had I just given it one more day, let it dry a little bit longer, let it do whatever, set, dry, cure, X, whatever it is, it would have gotten there. And COVID really helped me with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no, I had nothing but time.
Yeah.
And I was one of those very fortunate artists in 2020 that had the best art year of my life.
Yeah.
In sales, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people were very supportive. And so it was really cool. I had this ability to be like, well, I could start this other painting while this one cures a little bit more. It wasn't all of my focus had to be on this one piece, and this was the only sale that I had, and I have to get this done so I can get paid.
Yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And like living with you and with John, like, was very helpful because you two are very calming energies at time. Like, you balance my manic quite often, and I would hope that I balance yours too. But it was really cool to see you both get excited that I had let that painting sit and like really just like look at it and give it the time and nurture that it needed, to then go on and keep working and keep going and then get that painting to be like, fuck yeah, this looks so good. This is how I wanted it. Did it take a little bit longer than I wanted it to? It quote unquote wanted it to? Yes. And it took exactly the amount of time it needed to be where I wanted it.
And that's the hardest part of the journey.
Absolutely.
Is we set this expectation of time. Mm-hmm. We set this expectation that I'm going to, like for me, I'm going to start this business. I'm going to give myself X amount of time. And if I don't have it, then it's done. Yeah. Even though it takes more time than that.
And the universe is like, that's cute. You think it's going to be 2 years? How about seven?
It's like any good road trip that you've taken. Yep, we should be there in 2 hours. And it's either before 2 hours or it's after 2 hours. Yeah. It is hardly ever 2 hours, yeah. Right? Or, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours, whatever that is. Especially like the longer you get, the bigger the road trip, the harder it is to dictate time. Mm-hmm. And that's very much like the journey of business or of whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Of creating for the holidays. You have this expectation that you can do 75 things on Christmas Eve day.
Yeah.
And you should start on the 9th.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
To conquer all of the things that you want to put into this holiday season.
Like, you want to go ice skating, you want to do this and do that. Maybe you schedule that one on the 12th. And then there's this. And it's giving yourself space and enjoying the dips and the space in between. Enjoying the gap.
Yeah. And understanding that, like, when we're talking about business, when we're talking about, you know, projects that have financial ends to them, it's terrifying to realize that it takes more time than you feel like you can wait.
1,000,000%.
So I'm not putting this out there of like, oh, just wait, it's coming. Woo, just you got it. No. It's absolutely terrifying.
It can be terrifying. It can be frustrating. It can be maddening. Exhilarating. It can be all the feelings.
Yeah.
And feel.
And let go of your North Star. Just let it hang out there.
Yeah. Don't let go of it. Don't lose sight of it. Let go of it physically. Yes. Yeah.
Don't bear hug it.
Maybe it just
doesn't work out very well. Space. Let me just tell you from experience.
give it a little room to breathe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is really cool to, I want to bring it to work now. One thing that I think is really cool being back in the workforce of like working with more people than just myself in the house,
yeah,
is I get to see that more. Like, everybody that I work with is wicked talented and so good at what they do. And there are some people that you can see maybe have trust issues and hold on really tight to projects or to a certain, like how something gets packed or this or that, whatever it is. And so seeing somebody else be a mirror, you know, is like, ooh, I see that. And it's really cool to get to help in that situation too. I love helping. But like, help in a sense of like, reaffirm, like, hey, they got this. Like, have they let you down before? No.
Yeah.
Have other people? 100%.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you can trust this person. You know that this group has your back, whatever it is. Yeah. And so it's cool to see that outside of just you and I, right? Getting to be out in the world of events, and we say that there's usually a lot of little micro fires everywhere. And like, that's okay. Yeah. Sometimes those sparks need to happen to get things rolling. Mm-hmm. And they give them enough attention so maybe they don't turn into a roaring house fire.
Right.
But, like, don't crush them. Like, give them space. So, yes, same as your North Star. Don't suffocate it to death.
Yeah.
And don't abandon it. But just, like, acknowledge that it's there and use it to keep guiding you.
Yeah, I love that.
One thing, too, I want to bring back that we talked about watching Prom last night is on Netflix.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was really freaking cool and helped me a lot. I actually had a dream about it last night, which was cool. But in the movie, one of the main characters goes to his senior prom. His crush doesn't reciprocate and he stands outside and he doesn't go in. So later in the movie, as an adult, it montages flashbacks to him. He gets to go confront his little kid and be like, it does get better, and like, go inside and dance anyway and enjoy it. Like, be you.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. And like, for somebody who can feel, hear, see things that people don't feel, see, and hear, sometimes it's hard for me to connect with my little kid, to take the time to do that. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it'll happen in dreams for me, or when, you know, I'm in the shower sitting in a bath and it just like, she just like bitch slams into me. But it was really cool to like think about birthday parties growing up and to think about the holidays and like really sit with her and be like, we did get to go, you know, sledding and have the hot chocolate and do all these things.
Yeah.
Did it look like you thought it should from the Hallmark movie? No, it didn't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, that doesn't make them any less fun, because in the moment I did have a lot of fun doing those things. And it also doesn't make them any less sad that right. I didn't get to do them how I wanted,
right.
thought I should do them. It just gets to mean that they happened. And like, be with it. And that was really cool. You know, I know we have talked on and off about like having kids, not having kids, doing this, not doing this. And like, really sitting with that last night and this morning and just saying, if I want to create this experience for somebody, recreate this holiday experience, do gingerbread houses, do snowman, go ice skating, whatever it is. Like, all I have to do is be like, hey, babe, you want to do this? And you'd be like, yep. In no time.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is voice it. But I just like do this. What happens was I was holding it all in because I'm like, well, this list is too big.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many things on this list. How can I pick one? Where do I even start? And yeah, just like the puzzle, we're just going to separate them into colors, right? These are things that are outside things. Maybe they don't all happen in December.
We also do puzzles differently. I've never separated them into colors.
But I'm just saying it's just an option. Like, you don't separate it to like, this is the sky. These are the buildings.
Kind of, but like...
Mm. Yeah, you know, we each do it all differently.
Shocking, we do it differently.
I know. But like, yeah, to help break them down. And then I can take them to you and be like, hey, mm-hmm. I would really love to do this. Mm-hmm. And if it's something where like, I want to like enjoy it with a little kid and like do something that like helps heal the little kid in me. You know how many of our friends have kids?
Yeah.
And how many nieces and nephews we have?
We're surrounded by a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so really just like, asking, putting it out there. And I'm excited about that going into the rest of December. And like, we get to have winter past December. Snow does not stop in December 26th.
No.
Like, you know how many snowmen we could build between December 26th and April?
May.
A lot.
Yeah.
And like learning to maybe like let some of that overflow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No adult to tell me I can't.
And that's that expectation of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We could make Christmas magic all year long.
Could. Should.
Probably should.
Yeah, probably will now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I am excited to celebrate my birthday.
Because it's tomorrow.
I know.
Whoop, whoop.
And I'm excited because, like, I will be at a farmers union convention. That's right. You heard that correct. I'm working at a farmers union convention on my birthday. It's really cool. One of my coworkers, she also shares the same birthday. So we'll be there together.
Yeah.
And we've laughed about it. And we're like, you know, maybe not how we thought we'd spend it.
Yeah.
And why not? Like,
you'll have cool people. It'll be good.
Yeah. I'm going to have great food. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably learn something that I'll be like, get to use at Christmas.
I can't wait.
I know. Mike's going to be like, you learned about farming? Be like, yes, Mike, hold on.
Let's do this.
Right? Yeah. So I'm excited. And I'm really excited to enjoy the gap and not get stuck in the dip.
In the cheesiness of all of it. Love the process, everybody.
I mean, enjoy the gap. I don't know if I can say that. Enjoy the process. Yeah, I'm getting there. Thanks for coming back, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. And if you liked it, please give us a like, a subscribe, share it with your friends if you think it's relevant. And we'd also like to thank our sponsor,
Tellwell Story Company and Studio in the Fargo-Moorhead area here. They believe that story is the most powerful way to introduce a brand, educate, and engage your audience, and remind them why they love you.
They love to tell a great story, and we appreciate the use of their beautiful podcast studio. And if you ever are in the Fargo area looking for a place to do your media, check them out.
They're amazing.
Thanks, everybody.